The following has been recorded in conjunction with OU Torah, the Daf HaShavua Foundation, and Congregation Beth Aaron. We continue now with Maseches Beitza, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, although going to begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, about 5 lines from the bottom of the page. We had previously seen the Gemara quoted a Braisa, which recorded several halachos regarding an egg. One of the dinim that is recorded in this Braisa is Sveika Asura, that if we have a safek, a doubt regarding the status of this egg, it is prohibited for consumption. The Brice went on to tell us in this Arva Ve'elef Kula Nasuros that if this egg then becomes mixed up with other eggs, even if you have 1,000 times the amount of eggs to this one suffix, they're all going to be Asur. In other words, there's no bittel. Now, the working assumption that the Gemara has been making until this point is that the type of egg we're talking about is a suffix trefa, that there is a doubt as to whether or not this egg came from a chicken, which itself is a trefa, which would mean that this egg is also going to be considered asur b'achila. So therefore the Braisa is telling us that a suffik regarding such an egg is asur, and there is not going to be any bittul. So the Gemara wanted to know, why would there not be any bittul? After all, we have a general principle in halacha that when you have something which is asur, which falls into a tarovet, a mixture, so as long as you have the required ratio, in this case 1,000 to 1 would be more than sufficient, there should be bittul. So the Gemara suggests that perhaps the reason there's no bittul over here is because we're dealing with a beitza, an egg. A beitza is chashuva, it is considered to have a certain significance, and the reason it has that significance is because it is sold b'minyan. It is sold by units, as opposed to something which is just sold based on an estimate, or perhaps by weight. Since it is sold b'minyan, it is something that would not be batel afilu b'elef, that it would never be subject to the laws of bittul. So suggested the Gemara. Now the Gemara ended up with a question, and that is that perhaps, according to some opinions, this is only true when you're dealing with something that is exclusively sold dominion, something that is always sold by unit, but it is never sold either by estimate or by weight. But if you have something that is at times sold by units, but not always, so then perhaps it is subject to the laws of bittul. Now there's one thing that we know about eggs, and that is that while they are often sold by units, such as the sale of a dozen eggs, at times, if a person is purchasing eggs in very large quantities, perhaps an estimate would suffice. And so therefore, how can we say that an egg would not be batel? After all, it is not something which is always sold b'minyan. So the Gemara on the bottom of the page, again, Gimel Amud Beis, about 5 lines at the bottom of the page, suggests that there is in fact a Tana that would tell us that something that is only sometimes sold b'minyan is not going to be batel. So Amar Papa, Hai Tana, the Tana that is the source of this brisa that we have above, the Litra Katsiosu. It's the same ton as the ton of Litra Katsios. Litra Katsios is a case involving a litra, which means a measure of Katsios. Katsios, as we're going to see, is a reference to figs that are subject to the laws of Truma only midrabanan. On a Torah level, a person is only required to separate Truma from wheat, from grapes and olives. Other types of produce in the land of Israel is subject to Truma only midrabanan, only on a rabbinic level. So regarding the case of Litra Katsios, we'll see we have such a concept that something which is only occasionally sold, the Amar Kol Davar Shebeminyan, Afilu B'drabanan Lo Batel. There is such a shita that says anything which is sold b'minyan, even if it's not always sold b'minyan, even if sometimes it's sold based on an estimate, it's still not going to be batel. V'chol Shekem Edaraisa. Certainly this is going to be true when we're dealing with something which is an actual Yisra Doraisa. The Tanan, as it says in the Mishnah, Litra Katsios Shedarsa Pi Eagle, the case over here is, again, involving a certain measure of figs. Rashi explains the process over here. When the figs are removed from their place of growth, they're spread out in the field and allowed to dry. And then a special instrument, doa, is used to remove the stems. And afterwards, it is going to be placed into a mold, a special mold in which the figs, right? And they all sort of gel into one. It becomes, Rashi says, it becomes like a gavina, it becomes almost like a cheese. And these are then sold as these little cakes, these cakes which are called igulei dvela. So the Mishnah over here describes a situation where a person has a litra of katsios that were pressed into the pi ogle, literally the mouth of the eagle, the mold. However, eni yodei be'izugol darsi, he doesn't know exactly which mold he used to place these particular katsios. And that's a problem because we're talking over here about something that has been designated as truma, albeit truma d'rabanan, but it still has a special status and he needs to know where it is. Or, continues the Mishnah, or perhaps he placed it into a particular chavis, a cask, and he doesn't know precisely which chavis it was. Or a pikiveres, he places it inside of a basket, any of the ebes a kiveres darsa, and he doesn't know exactly which basket. So in all these three scenarios presented in the Mishnah, there is a certain measure of truma d'rabbanan, which essentially gets lost. He doesn't know exactly in which mold it was placed. So the Mishnah then goes on to cite two opinions as to what exactly is the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Meir says, here's the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rowan es Elyonos ki ilu hin prudos, v'hatachtonos malos es Elyonos. Which means we view the upper part of the molds as if they are separate from the tachtonos, and the tachtonos, the lower part, can be malos es Elyonos, they can add to be part of the number to be mevatel the Elyonos. In other words, if I need a certain ratio of here, in order to be mevatel truma, you need a ratio of 100 to 1. Remember beforehand we said, for Kaliyakarim, you needed 200 to 1. When it comes to truma, so you require a ratio of 100 to 1. So since we are talking over here about a case that requires a bittel of 100 to 1, so therefore you would think that in order to be mevatel this litra katzios, you would need to have at least 100 molds of heter to this one of truma. But Rabbi Eliezer says actually it's not true, because what we can do is we can view the elyonos, the upper part of the mold, because the litra katzios that was placed over here was only placed in the top part. It said alpi ha'igo. We can view the upper part as if they are separate from the lower parts, and the lower parts could also be included in that cheshbon. That will also be mevatelit. So this is a big cooler, that Rabbi Eliezer says. Why would it be so makel? After all, we know for sure that the truma is not on the bottom. So Rashi explains that this is a special cooler that applies over here because we're talking about truma d'rabbanan. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, he's not so makel. He says, "Yesha me'apumin yalu v'imlav apumin asur v'ashulayim mutar." Says Rabbi Yeshua, if in fact you have 100 pumin, so you have 100 molds, so then you could say that 100 of the pumin can be mevatel, again, this one truma, this one piha eagle of truma. However, if not, so we're going to say all the pumin are going to be asurin, because it could be any one of those, and we don't have the necessary ratio of a hashulayim, but the lower contents of the eagle would be permissible for consumption. They would in fact be okay, because we know for sure that there was no mixture with the shulayim. That's the first possibility as to what the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua is. This was the opinion of Rabbi Meir. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not the machlokas. Here's the machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer says, im yesham me'apumin yaluv im labapumin asurin v'ashulayim mutarim. According to this second version of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eliezer says exactly what Rabbi Shua said in the first version. Namely, that if you have 100 pumin, so then fine, then there's bittel. But if not, then hapumin asurin, all of the pumin, the upper parts are going to be asur, v'hashulayim mutarim. But the lower parts are going to be mutar. Rabbi Shua says, afilu im yesham shlosh me'os pumin lo yalu. Rabbi Shua has a big chiddush, a big chumra over here. He says, even if you have 300 pumin, that the mouths, again, of the upper part of these instruments, these molds, you have 300, they're still not going to be mevatel, the one litra katzios of truma. Why is that? After all, that's a lot more than the required ratio of 100 to 1. So the reason why is because this is a davar shebeminyan. The litra katzios are sold by units. You don't sell them, but they're not estimated, they're not sold by weight, they're sold as individual units. That's it. We see that there is this opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, the way Rabbi Yehuda explains the Mishnah, that there is not going to be bittul when it comes to something which is a davar shebeminyan. So Rav Papa says, so now we can understand that our brisa above, which said that a base of chashuva, that it's not batel, even though it's true, a base is not always going to be sold b'minyan, but that we see from here that there's a Tana that says such a thing, that kol davar shebeminyan, afilu ve'elef lo batel. Continues the Gemara, citing a continuation of this brisa, darsa be'igol ve'enu yodea be'izel lo darsa. Let's say he presses it into a particular mold, but he doesn't remember exactly which mold he presses it into. Divrei akol yalu. Everybody agrees that in that case it's batel. That's a very strange statement, says the Gemara. Divrei akol. Everybody agrees that case is batel. Haini buktai. That's exactly the machlokas. That was precisely the case, the scenario that we were discussing, which was the subject of machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua. So Amar Papa says, Nahachikama. darsa be eagle in a yadeh is makom be eagle darsa. If you press it into the eagle, into this mold, and you don't know exactly where in the mold it was pressed, ilitzfona, ilidroma, whether it was on the upper part, literally the northern or the southern, the other upper, the lower part of the eagle. So then we call Yalu. In that case, everybody agrees that it's going to be batel. Because now, it's not just that I know that it's one of the pumin of these igulim. I don't even know whether it is on the top part or it's in the lower part. And so therefore, everybody, everybody's going to agree in this case that it is going to be batel. The Gemara now continues and returns to the original question that we had against Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak from the Braisa. The Braisa on Gimel Amid Beis, we saw it discusses the Beis HaShanol de B'Yomtiv, or Beis HaShanol de Shabbos, and the Braisa rules that Sfeika Asura, that if you have a Sfeik regarding that Beitza, thought it was going to be Asur. So we want to know, why would that be? After all, according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak, the whole Issa to begin with is only Nisa de Rabbanan. We have a general principle, Sfeika de Rabbanan Lekula, and so therefore the Sfeika should be Mutter. That was the question we had. So the Gemara originally told us that we're talking about a Sfeik Treifa. We're not talking about a doubt whether the egg was laid on Shabbos Yom Tov. We're talking about a what? A Sfeik Treifa. But now we're going to see the Gemara is going to present us with another possible answer. Continues the Gemara and says as follows. Rav Ashi Yomar Li Olam Sfeik Yom Tov Sfeik Chol. Really, the Sfeik over here is in the Braisa is whether or not this egg was laid on Yom Tov or it was laid on Chol. However, this is a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. V'chadavar Sheyesh L'Matirin Afilu B'Drabanan Lo Batel. Since this is something that is going to be mutter tomorrow anyway, so any time we're dealing with a davar sheyesh l'matirin, afilu b'drabanan lo batel. You remember that we mentioned earlier in one of the previous shiurim that a davar sheyesh l'matirin means something that is going to become mutter if I just wait a little longer. When it comes to many isurim, it doesn't make a difference if you wait. It's going to remain in that prohibited state forever. However, when it comes to certain types of isurim, this is one of them, a beis hashanah l'miyantif, whatever the reason is as to why it is prohibited, it is only prohibited for a certain period of time, on that day of Yom Tov. However, subsequently, it is going to be mutter. This is called a davar sheyesh lo matirin, something that is going to become mutter later. V'chol davar sheyesh lo matirin, afilu b'drabanan lo batel. When it comes to davar sheyesh lo matirin, it is not going to be batel, even if we're talking about something that is only usur midrabanan. So originally, we had a question of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yitzchak, after all, how could this Braisa say Sveik Asura, or it's not going to be Batel? After all, we're dealing with something which is only us and Durabanan. So the Gemara says, yeah, when we're dealing with the Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, even if it is only us and Durabanan, it's still not going to be Batel. And so that would explain why it says over here that if this Beitza becomes mixed up with Harovet, Hafil Ve'elef, Heino Batel. The Gemara now continues with a new discussion. Until now, we have been discussing the different explanations. In total, there were four different explanations of Beis Hillel's ruling as to why a Beis HaShanol Yom Tov is going to be Aser. The Gemara now cites a Braisa that talks about the more lenient position, that of Beis Shammai. Tanya, it says in a Braisa, Achayim Omrim Mishurim Reb Eliezer. There are others who taught in the name of Reb Eliezer, Beisa Te'achel, He the Ima. An egg that was laid on Yom Tov may be eaten, both the egg and its mother. The mother hen can also be eaten. So says the Gemara of Amayas Kina. What case are we dealing with over here? Ilema batanagolos hametas lachila. If you say that we're talking about a chicken that was designated for consumption, so pshita dehiva imashaya. So obviously you can eat both the egg and the mother, because as we previously explained, if the tanagolos hametas lachila, you could shech that on Yom Tov, and you could certainly eat the egg as well. So you don't have to tell me hiva ima. Ella must be, rather, we're talking about a tanagolos hametas lagadabetsim. It must be that you tell me we're talking about a hen that was set aside for the purpose of producing eggs. If that's the case, so hiva ima asura. So the din should be different. It shouldn't say hiva ima muteres. It should be hiva ima asura. So what could this possibly mean? So Amar Abzeris, or Abzeris, says the following. Te'ochel agavima. The Braisa is telling you over here that the egg may be eaten because of the mother. What does that mean, because of the Gemara? So the Gemara explains, hey, Chidami, what's the case over here? So Rabbaye Kigon Shalokhostam. We're talking about a case where a person purchases this chicken before Yom Tov, but he purchases Stam. He does not give it any specific designated purpose. So as far as he's concerned, this chicken can be used for anything. Maybe I'll eat it, maybe I'll use it to lay eggs. Nishchota, if he goes ahead and shechts it on Yom Tov, so Hurra de Lachilo Medes. So then it becomes very clear that all along this chicken was obviously designated for consumption because he shafted it. so we can tell from what he did what the stomach, what the designation was all along. However, lo nishchata, if it turns out that this chicken is not going to be shechted on Yom Tov, so huvra de legado beitzim omedes. So then we can say that it's clear that what? It was designated for the purpose of laying eggs, and so therefore both the chicken and the egg is going to be mutter. So when it says over here, he ve'ima, that he could eat both the egg and the mother, what that means is teyachel agav ima. That since what? He shechted the chicken, so now it becomes clear that we're talking about a chicken which is a medes lachila. And once you can eat the mother, maybe you can also eat the egg. The Gemara now presents a second interpretation of this braisa. The Gemara says, Rav Mari Amar, Guzma Ketani. The braisa, when it said that Teochel Agavima, it didn't mean literally Teochel Agavima. Rather, this was a Guzma. What does a Guzma mean? A Guzma normally means an exaggeration. So what do you mean he exaggerated over here? So it's helpful to understand this within the context of that which follows. The Tanya, as we find in another similar braisa, Achei Imam Mishum Rav Eliezer, Beitza Teyachel Hi Ve'ima Ve'efrach Eklipaso. Others said in the name of Rav Eliezer, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov may be eaten. It can be eaten, its mother can be eaten, the chick can be eaten, the shell can be eaten. So over here you see that Rav Eliezer says everything can be eaten. So my Eklipaso, what does that mean? Its shell could be eaten. If you're going to tell me that you could literally eat the shell itself, so klipa bas achilihi, how could that be? After all, who eats shells? It's not edible. So what could Rabbi Yezer possibly mean when he says, ki ve'ima v'efroch v'kipaso? Ella, what does it must mean? It must mean efroch b'klipaso, not efroch u'klipaso, not the chick and the shell, but the chick in a shell. So says the Gemara, is that, could that really be? After all, I can't look at Rabbanu Leder of Liez Ben Yaakov and Lehecha the Yosel Avira Ola. There is a machlokas between the Rabbanu and Liez Ben Yaakov as to which point you can shecht a chick that is essentially just coming out of the egg. At which point is it going to be, what's the earliest point in time that you can shecht it? So the whole machlokas between Liez Ben Yaakov and the Rabbanu is once it has already been hatched. Of Lehecha the Yosel Avira Ola and Lo Pligi. However, nobody is going to say that before it has actually hatched, while the chicken is still in the egg itself, that everybody's going to agree that it is not permitted to go ahead and to eat a chick at such an underdeveloped stage. That is not going to be permissible. So how could it be, therefore, that Rabbi Eliezer says over here that he, the im of Ephrach, biklipaso, that you could eat the chick in the shell, but you can't eat the chick in the shell. Nobody says you could do that. Ella, what does it mean? Efroach uklipaso guzma. When it says efroach uklipaso, all that he means to say is, you can eat the chick and its shell. He's saying this for the purpose of exaggeration. Hachanami teyachel hiva ima guzma. When he says it over here, he only means it for the purpose of exaggeration. What does it mean, exaggeration? So Rashi explains over here. If you take a look at Rashi, divar amaschol guzma ketani, ka'adam shirotza lahachzik devarav. When a person wants to strengthen his words, when a person wants to sort of emphasize the point that he's making, medaber yeser. So he'll say a little more than really he needs to say. Ubo medes lachila koma. We're talking over here about a chicken which is medes lachila. V'necha ka beis hillel osrim. And Rabbi Yezer is arguing with beis hillel, who say that you can't eat such an egg. V'ima lo etzrichale. The truth of the matter is, when he says he, the ima, doesn't have to tell you he the ima. If you could eat the egg, obviously you could eat the mother. El gozim v'amar, really what he's just doing is just emphasizing the point. Milsi yasera kol yachal. He says you could eat everything. Gamas ov, gamas ein. You could eat everything. You could eat the mother, you could eat the chicken, you could eat the father, you could eat the egg. He's just saying for the purpose you could eat whatever you want. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer is emphasizing his particular opinion, not like this Hillel who say you can't even eat the egg. He says you can eat the egg and you can eat the chicken, but the truth of the matter is it's not really such a chiddush that you can eat the chicken. Once you tell me you can eat the egg, obviously you can eat the chicken, because again, as we mentioned already, we're talking over here about a tanagolas, so it's really not such a chiddush at all to tell me that you can eat the chicken.